Hollywood, California, where the world's favorite stars live and work, the world's favorite evaporated milk brings you Stars Over Hollywood. Each week, Carnation presents another famous name for motion pictures, television, and radio. Such distinguished performers as David Niven, Arlene Dahl, Lon McAllister. Today's star is one of Movieland's favorite citizens, Miss Lynn Berry. Today's story, Third Mother, was transcribed in Hollywood for Carnation, the milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of Third Mother, starring Lynn Berry in the role of Joanne. Curtain going up. Chalmers sits in a big New York bus station, waiting for a bus to Connecticut. The only other occupant of the long seat is a young boy, about 15 or 16, shabbily dressed in a jacket much too large and pants much too small. He glances at her sideways a couple of times, then suddenly blurts out,
"Say, does a ticket to Florida cost a lot?"
"Why, I don't know exactly, but I imagine so."
"Yeah, that's what I thought."
"You're planning to go to Florida?"
"I guess not."
"You seem to be awfully worried. Couldn't I do something to help you?"
"No, thanks. I'm okay."
"You don't live in New York, do you?"
"No, on a farm. I hated it. That's why I ran away."
"Oh. Do your folks know where you are?"
"I've only got a father. But I don't know where he is, so that makes us even."
"You mean you're trying to find him?"
"No, he travels with carnivals. After my mother died, he left me with some cousins on a farm. He didn't want to be bothered."
"I wish I could think of some way to help. If my bus weren't leaving... Oh, dear, my watch has stopped. Do you know what time it is?"
"No, ma'am."
"I mustn't miss that bus. Will you keep an eye on my things for a minute while I look over there where I can see the big clock? It may not be as late as I think. Oh, dear. I'll have to get out there. Hey, why, what are you doing? Wait, don't do that. You've got my purse. Come back here. Wait."
"What's the matter, lady?"
"Officer, that boy has my purse. It's got my bus tickets and all my money."
"That kid just ducking into that crowd?"
"Yes, oh, he mustn't do this. You've got to stop him."
"I'll get him."
"We've got to get him. Why, look, he fell down.
Somebody must have tripped him."
"But nobody was even near. Oh, hurry."
"All right, let me through here. Stand back, please.
Just keep back now."
"What's the matter? Is he ill?"
"All right, here's your purse, lady."
"Yes, thanks, but turn him over and see what's the matter."
"Okay. You, snap out of it. Come on with me."
"Oh, wait, don't arrest him."
"But he stole your purse, didn't he?"
"Sure, I stole it.
But it was just a mistake. I don't want him arrested. Please let him go."
"Well, okay, whatever you say."
"Thank you very much for helping me."
"Oh, don't mention it."
"Why didn't you let him arrest me? At least I'd have room and board."
"Here, come and sit down a minute. You look so pale."
"Thanks, but I'll make out okay. So long."
"No, please. There must be some way I can... Officer! Officer, please come quick."
"All right, what did he do now? Swipe your purse again?"
"Can't you see? He's fainted again."
"Oh.
You've got to help me get him to a doctor."
"The main trouble is he needs a square meal, Miss Chalmers."
"Is that why he fainted, Doctor?"
"Yes, the boy is undernourished, and, well, from the looks of the calluses on his hands, he's done work far too heavy for his age. He needs a lot of rest and care, or he'll be in for real trouble. He's grown too fast, worked too hard, and it sapped his strength."
"Oh, poor kid. I wish I knew what to do about him. I think for the time being I'll take him home with me."
"Have you a place for him?"
"Well, my sister and I have a small apartment. Right now she's out on the road. She's an actress. He could have her room while she's gone."
"Are you an actress, too?"
"No, I'm a dancing teacher."
"Well, you know, there are groups and organizations who take him in."
"I know, but I think he needs a friend as much as he does care and rest."
"Well, the boy should stay in bed and be quiet for a few days. I'll loan you some pajamas. And let me know how you make out. If you get stuck for ideas, maybe I can come up with something."
"You've been awfully kind, Doctor.
David Denning. It's there on my office door. If you can read backwards."
"All right, Dr. David Denning. Let's go in now and tell him he's going home with me." Hello?
Joanne, what happened to you? I just got back from meeting your bus.
Oh, Bill, I forgot all about it. Everything's happened so suddenly.
Why didn't you wire me your phone or
something?
Well,
I hadn't had time to.
Any towels around here?
Just a second, Bill. Aren't there any towels in there, Nat?
Can't find any.
Well, wait a minute, Nat. I'll come and find some for you.
Joanne, what's going on there? Who's that in your apartment?
Look, Bill, I can't explain all this over the phone. There's too much to it. I'll write you all about it.
But who's Nat?
I'll explain. I'll write you this evening. Goodbye, Bill.
But Joanne, listen.
I think there's some towels in the linen closet, Nat.
Okay, thanks.
I think you must be nuts to be doing all this for me.
Probably. Or maybe I've always wanted a younger brother.
No kidding? Oh, I've got to cut this out and find me a job. This could be your life's work.
Well, first let's find out what your life's work is going to be. Have you thought about it at all?
Oh, sure. I guess I don't know exactly. Because the thing I like about the best is the draw. Where'd that ever get me?
What kind of drawing?
Well, pictures of buildings and houses and things. I just fool around. But it's the thing I like to do best.
But I think that's wonderful.
Why? Bad chance I'd ever have to be an architect.
Well, why not? If we can figure out a way for you to stay in New York and go to some good school, it'd be very simple.
But how could I do that? I can't go on loafing and sponging on you.
Nat, you're not loafing and sponging. You can do a lot of things for me. You can look after the apartment while I'm away all day and... Listen, can you cook?
Well, yeah, sort of, I guess.
All right. You can have my dinners ready for me when I get home.
Oh, Kitty, you want me to go on staying here?
Certainly. At least till we can make some plans for you. Here, I'll leave some money. There's a nice big grocery store down the street about 3 blocks. Get anything you feel hungry for dinner.
You're not afraid I'll just skip out with the five?
Why should you?
Yeah. Why should I? Gee, you know, I could just sit here and bawl. I'm not used to having somebody do stuff like this. I mean, usually nobody cares much about what happens to me. Just so I keep out of their way and don't bother them. Gee, this is really something.
Well, it isn't really something yet, but it will be.
My gosh. You can't beat this. From purse snatcher to housewife in one easy jump.
Hello, Joanne.
Why, Bill, I thought you were still in Connecticut.
I drove in this morning. Look, you about through here?
Just finished my last class. Come on in here while I get my things.
Okay. Where would you like to have dinner?
I'll have to go home, Bill. Nat's supposed to have dinner ready for me.
Well, call him up and tell him you're staying downtown.
Oh, I can't do that. He'll be counting on me. Listen, why can't you come home with me? Then you can meet Nat.
I've already met Nat. I didn't know what your schedule was today, so I stopped first at your apartment.
Well, now you can understand why I did this. Isn't he a nice kid?
Joanne, what are you planning to do? Adopt him?
Why, I'm just trying to help him, that's all.
For Pete's sake, Joanne, this boy isn't anything to you. Why should you worry about
him? See what would happen if he were left just adrift by himself?
And is he to be included on our honeymoon, too?
If you're taking this attitude, there might not be a honeymoon.
But Joanne, you've got to come to your senses about this.
When I do, I'll let you know. Now I have to go home. Nat will be waiting dinner for me. All right, just a second. Yes?
Hello. You Joanne Chalmers?
Why, yes.
I'm Pete McGill, Nat's father.
Why, for goodness sake. Oh, do come in. Nat's going to the store.
Yeah, I know. I waited till I seen him go.
You waited?
Yeah. Thought you and me could have a little private conversation.
Oh, why, of course. You want to hear all about it. Won't you sit down? Tell me, how did you ever find him?
Easy. The carnival was playing not far from my cousin's farm, and when they said Nat had skipped out, I found out from the station master he'd bought a bus ticket to New York. When I got here, I found out from that cop that he'd helped you get Nat to a doctor. And the doctor gave me your name and address. Easy.
Well, you must be part detective.
Maybe. Maybe it's a good thing for you, I ain't.
Yes, I... What do you mean?
The authorities might get the idea you were contributing to the delinquency of a minor or something.
Delinquency of a... What do you mean?
Maybe even trying to keep the boy from his rightful relatives.
But I've been trying to help him. He's been ill. He didn't know anyone in New York. How could anyone possibly
sure,
think...
Sure, sure. You and I know that, but would the authorities believe it?
But how could this be distorted to look like
I
anything
but... I can see you're a real nice girl, Miss Chalmers. Bet you got a nice rich boyfriend, too. Believe you me, we can fix it so you don't get mixed up in no scandal. If you'll cooperate. Financially, that is.
Mr. McGill, if you came here with the idea of getting money out of me...
It'd be best not to say nothing about me being here till you thought it over. I'll get in touch, give you my address.
I'll have no use for your address, Mr. McGill.
Can't never tell. So long. You'll be hearing from me.
Oh, how could any father...
I'm back. Where are you? I came in the back way. You haven't got the stuff on the table yet.
No, I was... I didn't know how long you'd be. I thought I'd better wait.
Well, let's slap the butter on the potatoes and... Hey, what's the matter?
Well, nothing's the matter.
You look kind of funny. Anything happen while I was gone?
No, not a thing. I guess I'm just hungry, that's all.
Yeah, so am I. Well, let's fall too. Say, you know something? It sure seems funny to be able to count on somebody. I mean, somehow I just feel as if you could fix everything so it'd come out all right.
I will, Matt. Don't you worry about that. Everything will come out all right.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's drama, starring Lynn Barry, brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. When Joanne Chalmers prevented the arrest of young Nat McGill and took him home to care for him, she didn't anticipate the events that were to follow, especially the appearance of Nat's conniving father and the threat of blackmail. Now, with Nat unaware of his father's visit to Joanne, the two were about to sit down to their dinner.
Oh, my gosh, wouldn't you know? Now what?
Never mind, I'll see who it is.
Good evening.
Why, Dr. Jennings, come in.
I understand that this is strictly a professional call. Oh, listen, I didn't mean to interrupt your dinner.
Well, why don't you join us, David?
Oh, now, Joanne, I couldn't do that.
Name one reason.
Well, there must be one, but I can't seem to think of it right now. Okay, thanks. I'll be happy to join you.
You're taking your life in your hands, Doc. I'm chief cook around here.
Oh, you can't scare me out. I like to live dangerously. Oh, say, did your father find you all right?
My father?
Yes, he came to my office. I gave him this address.
Oh, Matt, how could I have forgotten to tell you? He dropped in while you were out at the store.
My father was
here? Yes, just a second after you'd gone.
Well, that's why he looked so funny when I came back. What do you want?
He just dropped in to say hello and to see how you were. He couldn't stay.
No kidding. What did he say to you?
Well, just about what I've told you. He was here just a minute.
Well, it's too bad the boy missed him. But he'll probably be back.
No, I don't believe he will.
Well, don't kid yourself. He'll be back all right. You can count on that.
Well, shall we have our dinner?
Okay. But all of a sudden, I sort of lost my appetite.
Okay. Just a minute.
Hello, Nat.
Oh.
Well, ain't you going to invite your old man in?
Okay. Come in. What did you come here for?
A father's got to have a reason for seeing his boy.
You do. Never paid any attention before, just so as long as I didn't bother you.
Well, maybe you're bothering me now, boy. Why should you get all this gravy without cutting me in?
Wait a minute. You try to get money out of Joanne?
Sure, but she wasn't very friendly, even though I told her I could sure make plenty of trouble for her.
What trouble? What trouble could you make for her?
Contributing to the delinquency of a minor, refusing to let a father have his own boy?
But that isn't true.
You better talk her into giving you a little money now and then.
Now, wait a minute.
Don't try to get tough with me, you little punk. Understand?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see you, boy.
So long.
So long.
Hello.
Well, I was just about ready to hang up.
Oh, why? Bill, I was hurrying to unlock the front door. How are you, Bill?
Is Nat still with you? Joanne. Joanne, are you still there?
I just noticed a note here by the phone. Oh, Bill, listen to this. Thanks a lot for all you've done for me. You were really swell. I'd have left the new suit you bought me, but you threw all my old clothes out. So long, Nat. Oh, Billy's gone.
Well, there's gratitude for you. You better look around and see what else he took with
him. Oh, I have to find him. You've got to help.
I will not. This is the best thing that could have happened. Let him go.
How can you be so cold-blooded?
Joanne, what would my family say if they knew about this?
I'm afraid I don't care what your family thinks. Or you either. I'm through.
Oh, now look here, Joanne.
I've got to find Matt. Goodbye. David, I'm awfully sorry to bother you, but I didn't know anyone else to go to. The most awful thing
is... Okay, Joanne. He's here. In my inner office.
What?
I guess he didn't know anyone else to go to either. His father turned up again. Evidently, he realized he couldn't get anywhere with you, so he went to work on the boy.
Oh. Then Nat knows how his father tried to blackmail me.
Yes. Come on, let's go in and talk to him.
Nat.
Oh, gee, why'd you have to come here?
Same reason you came, I guess.
I'm supposed to know all the answers.
Oh, Nat, why did you try to run away?
Oh, I figured it was time I was moving along.
She knows all about it, Nat. I just told her.
Oh. Well, did you think I'd just hang around and let him make trouble?
But we can work it out, Nat. You don't have to run away. We can prove that your father's not fit to have charge of you. We can get a court order.
That wouldn't stop him. Ever since he first took me, he's been trying to find an angle to get some money out of somebody about me.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
What do you mean, ever since he first took you?
I mean when I was a baby. I guess he wouldn't have taken me at all, but my mother was still alive then. She felt sorry.
Matt, what are you talking about? Do you mean that this man isn't your real father?
Gosh, no.
Are you sure of this?
Sure, I'm sure. My real parents were with the carnival. Their car was in a smash-up. They were killed.
Your real parents were killed?
Yeah, when I was a baby. After my mother died. I mean, his wife. She wasn't my real mother, of course. He got sick of having me around and dumped me with these cousins of his on a farm.
Oh, Matt, why didn't you tell us this before?
How does it make any difference?
Well, it makes a lot of difference, Matt.
But how? You can still make trouble for Joanne.
Wait now. Did he ever legally adopt you?
Oh, gee, I don't know. He never said anything about it.
Then if he never adopted you legally, he hasn't any claim on you at all.
Okay, but he can still make trouble for you. Don't you see how he can really gum things up?
Well, I doubt it. I imagine if his past record were looked into, well, he'd probably do a fast fade-out to keep that from happening.
But he's coming back. He said he'd be back in a day or so. He said I'd better have some money or he'd fix things up that'd be good for Joanne. That's why I cleared out. I was going to get word to him, and I'm not there anymore, so he can't do anything, Joanne.
Oh, no, Nat, listen.
Wait a minute, Joanne. Where is he now, Nat? You know where the carnival is?
Up near Poughkeepsie, he said.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Joanne, will you let me handle this for a few days? I think then I may have some news for you.
May we come in, David?
Oh, come in, come in. Hello, Nat.
Hi. Any news or anything? That's why you told us to come over?
Well, not yet, but I'm expecting a phone call, and I wanted you both to be here.
What kind of a phone call?
Sit down. I'm waiting to hear... Oh, excuse me a minute.
Gee, if this isn't it, the suspense will kill me.
Oh, yes, I was waiting to hear from you. Yeah?
Sounds like it might be it.
Well, what did he say then? Oh...
Doesn't sound good.
Oh, he did he? Well, just what I thought. Well, that's great. Yeah, I'll see you, Dick. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Goodbye. Well, That's that.
But what is it?
Gee, tell us quick.
That call was from a very good friend of mine who also happens to be a very good lawyer. He just made a business trip to Poughkeepsie, had a nice little talk with one Mr. Pete McGill, and somehow I have a strong feeling that that's the last we'll be hearing from him.
No kidding.
Oh, David.
Apparently, Mr. McGill doesn't care to get tangled up with the law. In fact, Mr. McGill seems more than willing to forget he ever knew a boy named Nat.
Gee.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you see, Nat, we had all this scare for nothing.
You know, I've got another idea. It's going to be rather crowded over at Joanne's when her sister gets back. But I've got a lot of extra room at my house, and there's just me and my housekeeper. Why couldn't you have a room at my place, Nat, while you're going to school?
Say, that'd be keen. That is, if it's okay with Joanne.
It certainly is. I think it's perfectly marvelous.
Gee, you guys have certainly knocked yourselves out for me.
Well, the three of us are in it together.
And we're going to see it through.
Look, I didn't mean to horn in and just take over, Joanne. I mean, you've probably got your own friends or something.
There isn't even a something.
Well, then, it's the three of us together.
Mm-hmm. The three of us.
Oh, gee, isn't that great? That sort of makes Joanne my third mother.
You better watch out or you'll be having a third brother, too.
Why, Dr. Denning.
You'll have to excuse me. Yes, I was just carried away with the idea.
Well, it's sure okay with me. How about you, Joanne?
Yes, Nat, I think it's okay with me, too.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of Third Mother. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Lynn Berry. Before we have news about next week's show, how about a curtain call for our star, Lynn Berry?
Oh, I'd like that very much, Art. My visit to Stars Over Hollywood has been very enjoyable.
Well, very enjoyable for us, too, Lynn. Your performance was superb. Now, we'd like to have you join us in our after-the-show custom of coffee with Carnation, a steaming cup creamed to perfection with Carnation evaporated milk. Taste it, won't you?
Thank you. Mmm. If you'll pardon the pun, Art, your custom is in very good taste.
I knew you'd enjoy it, Lynn. People the world over have discovered that coffee, no matter how good, always tastes better when you cream it with Carnation.
Well, I'm convinced it's delicious.
Yes, Carnation evaporated milk brings out more of the full, true coffee flavor and aroma. And that's perfectly understandable. After all, Carnation is more than double rich. Besides, it costs less than half as much as cream. So for greater satisfaction from your coffee at lower cost, always cream it with Carnation. Now, Lynn, for your excellent performance as our star, we'd like you to have this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Thanks, Doc. They're beautiful. And for now, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Lynn Berry. Next Saturday, Stars Over Hollywood will present Mr. Lon McAllister in a romantic play titled With All My Heart. And now here's Mr. McAllister.
From the train window, I watched the sign Martin Falls slide by. I was leaving everything I loved. The quiet streets, the big shade trees, and the wide lawns. I was leaving it all because of a girl.
Thank you, Lon McAllister. We'll all be listening next week to hear you in this heartwarming play. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood presentation was written by Virginia Safford Lynn. Supporting Miss Berry were Jeff Silver, John Stevenson, Lou Merrill, and Peter Leeds. This program was directed and transcribed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure you buy Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. No other form of milk comes in so handy, so many times, so many ways.
It's Carnation time when it's coffee time. It's Carnation time when you're cooking too. It's Carnation time at baby feeding time. The milk from contented cows for you. All around the clock, it's time for Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood. This is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we're proud to present Mr. Lon McAllister in With All My Heart. Stay tuned now to hear Fun for All, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
This is the CBS Radio Network.